This is a conversation with Margaret Hafner on the 29th of September 1992, and it's on her recollections of Albury Church. Margaret, first of all, just a tiny bit about yourself. And are you an Albury person, born and bred?
No, actually, I was born in my early days. I lived near Box Hill in Brockham. And then I moved all over the place. I trained as a nurse at Guy's Hospital and worked on the land during the war, which was the best time of my life.
A land girl?
Before the land army, I was already ploughing with horses and doing hedge layering and all that. And milking.
Gosh, I ought to be asking you about all that.
Milking too. Cows by hand and so on. But I finally, in the war, my mother came to Guildford and I lived with her and I was training in London. And then I moved away and finally I married and we, after a period in Guildford when we ran a coffee house in the High Street, we moved out to Albury. And my two first children were small, 5 and 2. And we just settled in. It's a beautiful, beautiful area.
Mm. Yes, I know what you mean. It very much mirrors our reaction to coming here.
Yes.
Now, when was this? When did you actually arrive?
It was 28 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And can you cast your mind back to then and your discovery of the church? What did you think of it when you first saw it?
The church, my first recollections of it was Mr. Singh, Reverend Singh, and his wife, who was one of the earliest women doctors in the country, and they were on the point of retiring. And we were very nicely welcomed up there, visited the rectory, and it was absolutely delightful. And there were all sorts of associations, young wives, and youth club, and many things, Women's Institute. And it was a great time.
Mm.
And then, of course, Mr. Singh retired, and Mr. Drew was there looking after St. Martha's, and he was a magnificent man. He was in charge of the youth club, and we living next to the village hall. I used to be terrified for his life sometimes. There were motorbikes tearing about and music sort of ripping the sky off. And I said to him, if you ever need any help, come call on us. And he said he loved the work, and he said one of these youth said to him one day, I like you, you're not an intellectual. And he said very wistfully, I rather hoped I was. But that was a long time ago.
Mr. Drew, that was.
Yes, he was an elderly, retiring vicar.
Now, the Reverend Singh, that's a most unusual name. I'm trying to establish, was he an Irishman, in fact?
Well, his family came from Bruton in Somerset, and his father was a congregational preacher in Bruton. And very interesting, my husband bought the church in Bruton High Street where Mr. Singh had grown up, and he bought it. It was consecrated, and he bought it as a studio. It was a big, big building.
Mm-hmm.
And he had that for 16 years, but that was a great coincidence, I thought.
When you arrived in Albury, were you anyway churchgoers?
Yes, I did. I was brought up and confirmed, of course. And I used to go, when we had the coffee house, I used to break away and go to church in Trinity in Guildford.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a fight to do it.
Yes, with running a business.
Yeah,
yes.
Shopping at 8 in the morning and washing up after mixed grills at 11 at night with one small child and another one expected. But that was the busiest time, I think, catering.
So you arrived, you had this really rather lovely welcome, which of course encouraged you to go to the church.
Yes.
Can you remember your visiting it for the first time, your first arrival at this large red brick building?
Yes, it was. It took a bit of getting used to, and the architecture, I believe, was built from a postcard of a somewhere on the Mediterranean, a church which was brought back and given to the architect, and he was told to build that. That's my impression, but mm-hmm. I may be wrong. But I'm now absolutely love it. You know, one looking after a place, you get so fond of it.
Yes, now that's what I wanted to ask you yes. about in particular. Yes. Tell me first of all what you do. This will be a great interest in sort of 50 to 100 years' time, yes. you know. It seems very straightforward now, I'm yes. sure. But what do you do to look after it?
I clean it and I prepare it for special services and help with the decorations for the festivals. And I spend about an hour and a half every week cleaning it up any time I like. This was the great attraction because I'm a very busy person. Mm. And I've been known to do it before going away to catch an aeroplane at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I've been known to do it at something like midnight. But when I think I alarmed the Mr. Sherman by seeing the lights all on at that hour. But it's not at all boring. Things are always happening there. People appear, and on one occasion when the organ was being repaired, men from the north were there working on it and for some weeks. And I arrived early in the morning to clean the church, and I had a strange atmosphere. And I found two men asleep on the floor in the vestry. And this was with bare feet. This was the organ repairers kipping down on the cheap. You'll probably need to cut that out, I think.
No, I mean, it wasn't some old villager from long ago come
No, out. They were very frightened.
This is a conversation with Margaret Hafner on the 29th of September 1992, and it's on her recollections of Albury Church. Margaret, first of all, just a tiny bit about yourself. And are you an Albury person, born and bred?
No, actually, I was born in my early days. I lived near Box Hill in Brockham. And then I moved all over the place. I trained as a nurse at Guy's Hospital and worked on the land during the war, which was the best time of my life.
A land girl?
Before the land army, I was already ploughing with horses and doing hedge layering and all that. And milking.
Gosh, I ought to be asking you about all that.
Milking
too.
Cows by hand and so on. But I finally. In the war, my mother came to Guildford, and I lived with her, and I was training in London. And then I moved away, and finally I married, and we, after a period in Guildford when we ran a coffee house in the High Street, we moved out to Albury. And my two first children were small, 5 and 2. And we just settled in. It's a beautiful, beautiful area.
Mm. Yes, I know what you mean. It very much mirrors our reaction to coming here.
Yes.
Now, when was this? When did you actually arrive?
It was 28 years ago. Mm-hmm.
And can you cast your mind back to then and your discovery of the church? What did you think of it when you first saw it?
The church, my first recollections of it was Mr. Singh, Reverend Singh, and his wife, who was one of the earliest women doctors in the country, and they were on the point of retiring. And we were very nicely welcomed up there, visited the rectory, and it was absolutely delightful. And there were all sorts of associations, young wives, and youth club, and many things, Women's Institute. And it was a great time. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Mr. Singh retired, and Mr. Drew was there looking after St. Martha's, and he was a magnificent man. He was in charge of the youth club, and we living next to the village hall. I used to be terrified for his life sometimes. There were motorbikes tearing about and music sort of ripping the sky off. And I said to him, if you ever need any help, come call on us. And he said he loved the work, and he said one of these youth said to him one day, I like you. You're not an intellectual. And he said very wistfully, I rather hoped I was. But that was a long time ago.
Mr. Drew, that was.
Yes, he was an elderly, retiring vicar.
Now, the Reverend Singh, that's a most unusual name. I'm trying to establish, was he an Irishman, in fact?
Well, his family came from Bruton in Somerset, and his father was a congregational preacher in Bruton, and very interesting, my husband bought the church in Bruton High Street where Mr. Singh had grown up, and he bought it, it was consecrated, and he bought it as a studio. It was a big building. Mm-hmm. And he had that for 16 years, but that was a great coincidence, I thought.
When you arrived in Albury, were you anyway churchgoers?
Yes, I did. I was brought up and confirmed, of course. And I used to go, when we had the coffee house, I used to break away and go to church in Trinity in Guildford. Mm-hmm. But it was a fight to do it.
Yes, with running a business. Yes.
Yeah, shopping at 8 in the morning and washing up after mixed grills at 11 at night. With one small child and another one expected. But that was the busiest time, I think, catering.
So you arrived, you had this really rather lovely welcome, which of course encouraged you to go to the church.
Yes.
Can you remember your visiting it for the first time, your first arrival at this large red brick building?
Yes, it was. It took a bit of getting used to, and the architecture, I believe, was built from a postcard of a somewhere on the Mediterranean, a church which was brought back and given to the architect, and he was told to build that. That's my impression, but mm-hmm. I may be wrong. But I'm now absolutely love it. One looking after a place, you get so fond of it.
Yes, now that's what I wanted to ask you about in particular.
Yes.
Tell me first of all what you do. This will be a great interest in sort of 50 to 100 years' time,
yes.
It seems very straightforward now, I'm
yes.
sure. But what do you do to look after it?
I clean it, and I prepare it for special services, and help with the decorations for the festivals. And I spend about an hour and a half every week cleaning it up any time I like. This was the great attraction because I'm a very busy person. Mm. And I've been known to do it before going away to catch an aeroplane at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I've been known to do it at something like midnight. But when I think I alarmed the Mr. Sherman by seeing the lights all on at that hour. But it's not at all boring. Things are always happening there. People appear, and on one occasion when the organ was being repaired, men from the north were there working on it, and for some weeks. And I arrived early in the morning to clean the church, and I had a strange atmosphere. and I found two men asleep on the floor in the vestry. And this was with bare feet. This was the organ repairers kipping down on the cheap. You'll probably need to cut that out, I think.
No, but it wasn't some old villager from long ago coming.
No, they were very frightened, but I reassured them.
Now, when you say you clean it and you look after it, what precisely do you do?
Well, that means clearing up, watering the flowers, hoovering. We now have, after the renovations, we have a cloakroom and tidying up there. And I do the vestry and the choir vestry. From time to time I do things like making curtains and generally treating it like a second home, really.
Mm. How long does it take you to clean it up?
It depends. After a harvest festival, when there's old man's beard everywhere, and after Christmas, when there are holly berries everywhere, it takes probably 2 hours, but usually just over an hour. And I simply love it. I do.
Tell me a little bit about this bond that you suggest you have with the place. I mean, there you are, say at midnight or perhaps early in the morning, cleaning this place. What is it that that you love about it?
Well, of course, there's an atmosphere. Another thing is my parents used to attend church there at one point. And if you look after something, whether it's an animal, a garden, invalid, house, you do get very attached to it, I find. And you go in and it's just like home, really. I really love it. And I won't say I pray, but I concentrate on certain areas of the church which I feel should be cleared up or altered or anything. And bit by bit, such as getting the carpet up off the very nice tiles, which Mr. Gummer, I believe, did with his own hands. A terrible felt carpet, and underneath were all these very nice tiles which had been covered for a long, long time. And I had great fun cleaning them, steel wool some of the time, and getting them up to scratch.
Gosh, a real labour of love.
Well, yes it is. And a great thing now, which I am very keen on, is getting new hassocks, or kneelers, because the other ones are leaking sawdust everywhere, which wastes my time.
Yes, extra time clearing up.
Yes, but I really enjoy it, and I do have a lot of fun. When I dust the pews, I do it against the time. You know, I rush up one pew and down the next one, dusting away. And a member of the congregation said to me recently, if the sun's shining at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, I can see the choir stalls, and I can see if you've dusted them or not. I thought, rather mean.
Anyway. Are there places, particular places in the church that you have a special affection for, special corners of the church?
Yes, there's the gallery over the vestry, which is full of junk, and my great hate, which is oases, this awful stuff they stick in vases and put flowers in, which crumbles all over the place, and the flowers hate it, quite sure. I just want to see it with chairs or pews up there. And I said if ever it gets cleaned out and made habitable as for the congregation, I would certainly be in the front row.
Yes.
That's lovely. That's a lovely room, and the sun comes in and it's just full of rubbish. Very old Jesuses and old broken crosses and road signs and all sorts of nonsense. And I'm hoping to get carte blanche there to chuck it all out.
That's a special corner to you.
That I'm very, I like going up there.
Mm.
And bits of the garden, there's a little bit that Mr. George planted up. There were a lot of weedy patches in the garden, in the churchyard, and this is a little border as you enter the church, and he cleaned it all up and he put Tony Asters all along. And I always try and keep that weeded and watch them grow. And of course the churchyard, they had to strim it in the beginning when Mr. Gama started getting cracking on it. And they're now, they've got it to a state where they can mow it, and that's absolutely wonderful, because some of the gravestones and things were completely under brambles at one point from neglect.
Mm. Now, Mr. George was the verger, I believe.
No, he was, not sure what his position was. He used to help in the church, and his wife did a lot of decorating. They've now moved out to Shalford, but they were great supporters of the church, and they still do quite a bit. But as he's aware, say, I look after that little bit of garden that he planted. And also he did an awful, before they moved, they did an awful lot in the churchyard, having it cleared. That's nice.
Anywhere else that's special? Feel you coming home to this place, is it?
Oh, yes. Mm. And my great horror is the corner where all the rubbish is dumped. And nobody knows quite where to put the burning stuff, or the all sorts of rubbish goes out there, old things from the flower arrangement collection and vases. And it's just either stinging nettles or a terrible mess. And I always hope the Scouts, I believe they do sometimes, will come and tackle it. But the Scouts have done a bit in the porch. Last year, they did the porch up. But I must say, the best kept part of the whole church is the belfry. Bob Knight, and his team. I mean, it's absolutely wonderful up there. It's like a parlour, and I was. Think that is the best spot, because I used to occasionally ring bells with them. So I used to ring bells during the war, but really I'm a bit too old now for that.
That's lovely. That links me very nicely into Bob Knights himself, probably,
yes.
At that point,
yes.
Talking. It sounds to me as if you rather enjoy the church to yourself at times, when you have these this special time in it.
Oh, yes, I do. And I keep seeing things that I hadn't noticed before, such as there's a window. I didn't know there was a bomb in Albury, did you?
A flying bomb, sorry.
Yes, a buzz bomb, I suppose. Mm. One of the ones that the Germans were going to celebrate, I think, that they're not going to now.
Yes.
There's a window over the altar, which is, it's got a commemoration on it that it was... I think two of them were bombed out and replaced by some local person. And that one of the saddest things to me about the windows is behind the, I suppose it's a Victorian altar, organ pipe arrangement, there's the best stained glass window in the whole church, and you can only see a slice of it. Mm. And I keep looking to see if any of the other windows could be adapted to take it. But I think not, and I suppose one can't shift the organ pipes, because that would involve those organ menders again.
Yes. Bob Caspard, in fact, has taken a photograph of that
picture,
that window you're referring to, and you'll see it in the exhibition.
Oh, good, yes.
That's lovely.
And the only place I think it would be lovely to have it, in the Northumberland Chapel, which isn't all that great, they've boarded up a window... in order to put a little Northumberland altar, if that's how you would describe it. And it's boarded up with card, by the look of it, from the outside. And I thought it would be lovely if that could be removed and the window put in there.
Mm. Mm.
And I sometimes wonder how much saving up it would take to get it done.
Well, it's maybe we can pass the suggestion
but
on.
If you walk up the... back to the back of the church, you can see this horrible bit of, it looks like hardboard or something, where there was a window.
A window, yes.
Facing east. Yes. And that, it would mean removing the Northumberland's plaque somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Which
Doing the church, working and cleaning at it, are there feelings of atmospheres about the place? Is it a happy feeling in the church? Because it's seen an immense amount of history, 150 years of it, isn't it?
Well, yes, but as churches goes, that's not very much.
Not a lot, no, but I mean, it's still a long time.
Yes, it is, yes. I don't know, I always feel the presence of my parents, especially my mother. And I'm always aware that Miss Dodsworth, who is one of the oldest Albury inhabitants, who is now in a home near Petersfield on her 87th year, I think. She and Dr. Burton, who died recently, I think were the last really old people. Although Dr. Burton, of course, wasn't always here, but Miss Dodsworth lived for three generations there next in the old schoolhouse, and she remembers the village hall when the girls were kept inside behind bars at playtime and the boys were allowed to play outside. And she remembers a great deal. She remembers the men hiding their bottles of homemade wine in western woods and going up there and drinking it, hidden from their wives. She's been a most wonderful, wonderful person.
So you have a feeling.
And I always remember where she was very humble. She used to sit at the back, but I remember her as being looking after all the family graves there, which of course are abandoned now to nature. I enjoy going to church tremendously. I look upon it as going meeting all my friends. But whether that's the right reason to go to church, I don't know, but I go because I enjoy it and because it stops the world for me.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure that the church is people.
And I can't help feeling, and never mind the hierarchy of the church and all those things, as far as Albury goes, it's, I think, the best thing around. And that full stop.
Anyway. That's lovely. I mean, that's almost the end of the programme, as it were, you've just said to me. But last of all, I wondered whether, I know that you don't want to touch on it very much, but there was this, you knew it as a young mother and parent when you first came here.
Yes.
And then there's been this long period in Albury's church's history when there's been this period you described as the doldrums to me.
Yes.
And now you've found it again.
Well, I was discouraged really from attending, and as my daughter lived in Busbridge, I used to go to church with her, and I had connections with Holy Trinity, where, let it be said, the music is wonderful, which again isn't a reason to go to church. But I did rather leave. Shear, of course, was lovely, but I think it used to, well, to be quite honest, I used to come away feeling angry, which really is no good. And it's very sad because one should go to one's local church. But Mr. Orme was ill quite some time before he retired, I think. But anyway, that's past history.
Mm. The congregation's dwindled
it's great now. I move around because I used to do occasional nursing. And now, as regards congregation, it's wonderful. I've been to St. Albans, to a very big church, and there have been five people early communion. It's amazing. So really, from thinking the church could be full, one's very surprised if it's a quarter full. Mm. It's lovely. And now they're starting toddlers and children, and the youth club's going, and it's all very positive. I won't say it's one of the things I prayed for, but it's certainly one of the things I used to think about over the past years. Another thing I enjoyed very much was I reframed and mounted all the old rectors Lent time 2 years ago. I try and do something. And I really got to know them from the first one, because they had almost disappeared behind not just dirty glass, but pocking and fading and disgusting mounts. And that was a very good experience for me because I was learning to mount and frame pictures at the time, and that was a very good exercise. But there are a lot of things that could be done in the church to make it a more home-like place. Mm. That's how I look upon it. Cleaning up corners.
Yes, it is a worship, as it were, in deed as well as word.
Yes, I mean, I think community service is so terribly important. And another thing I feel very strongly about is people driving to church. I think a time walking to church is a very nice, quiet time if you walk alone and getting into the mood, and then walking home thinking it over. But I think people who come virtually from the village by car, unless they're infirm, are missing a lot. I don't criticise them, but I think it's lovely to walk to church. Mm. Great.
That's marvellous. It sounds to me as if you have given a lot to the church, but the church has given you a lot back.
Good gracious, yes. Certainly. It has, yes.
A good relationship.
Yes, very good.